Good afternoon. I'd like to call to order the Design Review Board meeting of Tuesday, July 25th. Can we have a roll call, please?
Board Member White is absent. Board Member King? Absent.
Board Member here.
He's here.
Okay. Board Member Iman?
Here.
Board Member Brown?
Here.
Board Member DeGassis? Absent. Board Member Clinton? Absent. Board Member Whelan?
Here.
And Chair Branch?
Here. And I will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. At this time, the public shall have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Do we have any people in chambers who would like to speak on a non-agenda item or any speaker slips?
Are there any members of the public on the Zoom webinar who wish to speak? Would you please use the raise hand feature and I will call on you. I do not have any paper comment cards, nor do I see any attendees who wish to speak at this time.
All right, very good. Any amendments to the agenda?
Good afternoon, Chair and Board members. No changes or adjustments to the agenda today.
Very good, then let's get right into it. Our conceptual preliminary final calendar has one item, item B1.
That is for 559 Windsor Avenue, APN 077-321-004, residential addition and exterior renovations and California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15301, case numbers 22-0046-LUP, 22-0024-DRB.
Very good. And has everybody visited the site? Jim?
No visitation, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have visited the site and no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Virtual site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Christina, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Chair Branch. Good afternoon, members of the DRB. The project before you is located at 559 Windsor Avenue and includes a 706-square-foot addition, primarily in the back of the existing single-story residence, and a small entryway addition in the front of the residence. Exterior improvements include architectural changes to the roof, fenestration, and exterior material changes and landscaping. The project proposes approximately 200 square feet over the maximum floor area allowed in the RS zone based on the lot size. The project meets the criteria for a categorical exemption under the addition to the existing residence category. And with that, I would like to turn it back over to the chair.
Okay, very good. Greg, you know the drill. Turn on the mic and state your name and jump
in. Greg Jenkins, architect for the owners. Jerry and Wei-Ling Baltez, who are here. We are doing a pleasant remodel and addition to this home. Our goal is to be compatible with the neighborhood, which I think we have achieved. Just quickly, from a site plan standpoint and the existing home, we're taking a front porch and we're closing a little bit of that front porch for the benefit of creating more of an entry in the home. And then we're doing a portion of an addition in the rear of the property. The facade of the structure, we are enhancing, we're removing some of the, actually some of it has already been removed prematurely, but removing some of the used brick elements that was on the front, and in favor of more of a modern stucco and hardwood siding option. So here's a comparison of the proposed elevations adjacent to the existing elevations. The front, you can see we have just a lot of kind of that gingerbread look, and we're simplifying, we're removing some of these hip corners. We're removing the aluminum cowpack roof in favor of a presidential shingle. We're introducing some hardwood siding. We're replacing all of the windows and exterior doors. In the rear, you can see we're creating some gable forms that come off the back. We are voluntarily removing our fireplace and chimney, which is to the benefit of the grove, its adjacency, and you know, healthy raptors. Here's our color palette. Stucco body is muted. This represents, it's basically like a bronze anodized. It looks black on this drawing. And then the hardwood siding up above, our night sky friendly lighting that we have located and providing details. Landscaping, we're very drought tolerant in the design. And let's see what else we have for you here. We provided the irrigation information that was requested, and then also the best management practices. Photographs, you're welcome to see them on the screen as well if you like, but we do have a photoscape of the neighborhood. It's a mix of one and two-story homes. These are the subject property up above here, and then there's the streetscape going left and right across the street, up and down. So I believe we're compatible. As far as the footprint of the home, there's a fun little aerial photograph there that I've provided, and I've superimposed a footprint of what our addition will look like from the standpoint that we are requesting an increase in the square footage. You can see that our parcel projection is actually less than some of the other properties along the grove. And so we feel that we're compliant, compatible, we're good neighbors, and we're gonna do quality work and quality detailing. And I'm here to answer any questions you might have.
Excellent, thank you very much. With that, do we have any questions for the applicant? Jim?
I have no questions.
Okay, Dennis?
Yes, thank you, Chair Branch. My first question is for Ms. McGuire. When I read the staff report under project description, the third paragraph, page 2, it says the project does not include a request for modification. What does that mean?
Thank you, Member Whalen. That means that there is no requested modification such as a setback or height or any of the other modification sections. The max floor area is actually in a different section of the code. It's not in the modification section.
Thank you. You read my mind on what that was all about. And I didn't hear you give any background on that, the floor area exceeding the maximum FAR. Could you talk about that briefly?
Absolutely, Member Whalen. Let me just get my notes.
All right.
The
well, while you're looking at that, I'll go to Mr. Jenkins. On the south elevation, it looks as if the windows got larger on the existing, where am I, east, west.
Here? Oh, north, I'm sorry.
This is existing south here, and this is proposed south. Yeah, so that's.
See,
those. They did, we are. Correct. We are changing them.
Are all windows being replaced?
They're all being replaced.
But some of the sizes are changing.
Correct. These windows do not meet egress requirements, and so we're going a little bit taller.
Very good. Must be your broker calling.
She's listening. Right.
A hot tip. All right. Let's see. And then it looks as if there's a loft proposed in the family room. that has a large window, I guess. Is that correct?
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's about 30 inches by 4 feet tall.
And I think those are all of my questions. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Karis, do you have any
questions? Ms. McGuire can get back to me.
I think she's ready.
Okay.
Thank you, Member Whalen. So for this property, the maximum floor area that would be allowed based on the lot size is 2,235.5 square feet. The applicant is proposing a total, of which counts towards this total of max floor area of 2,440 square feet. So they're about 200 square feet over what would be allowed. In order for them to have this allowance, it's up to the DRB to decide.
Very good.
Thank you.
Karis, do you have any questions for the applicant?
I have no questions. I also just want to say no ex parte, no, and virtual site visit.
Oh, thank you. Cecilia, any questions?
No questions.
Okay, Jonathan, any questions?
No questions.
Elizabeth?
So it's a two-car garage with four bedrooms, if I'm counting? I'm just... Right? Yeah? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. All right. No questions.
Okay. How about any? I don't have any questions either. How about any comments, Jim? Do you have any comments about it?
No, I don't.
Okay, Dennis.
Well, the size, bulk, and scale seems to be very appropriate for the neighborhood. The proposed changes seem to blend in, although I may be out of step. I sort of regret losing all of those 50s gingerbread, as you put it, but they'll be gone. I think the use of skylights is really going to provide a wonderful natural light to the house, the vaulted ceilings. Forgot one question. You're removing the exterior water heater. Is that going inside now or? In the laundry room?
There's an on-demand unit in the laundry room is where it's been relocated to. So it's inside. So there used to be a doghouse, if you will, on the outside.
And so the proposed exceeding the FAR amounts to about 9%. I suppose you struggled with trying to come in right on budget. Right on square footage. I don't have a big problem with the exceeding with it. Thank you.
Very good. Karis, do you have any comments?
I think it looks good. Mm-hmm. You had a big roof to deal with, and I think you've dealt with it nicely by pulling it back a little bit from there, and the plants are all very hardy succulents, and it seems like a good idea to have them on the edges because they keep neat and clean, and the front looks so good. So I would just say congratulations and well done.
Very good. Cecilia?
Thank you. Thank you for the nice presentation. I support your project. I am not bothered, as I have been by other projects where FAR exceedance has been huge. Here it's almost de minimis. I don't think it will affect the look of the project since it's all in the rear. I do like your considerations for removing the chimney and those things since it's so close to Stowe Grove Park, mm-hmm. which I think is great. So other than that, I think it's a great project.
Okay, very good. Jonathan?
I agree with my colleagues. It looks like a very nice improvement for the family, and I'm happy to be able to support that.
Very good. Elizabeth, any comments?
I think it's a personal preference, living space versus outdoor space. I'm always a fan of the outdoors and creating something more using that space. But this looks okay with me. So thank you.
Okay, very good. I wound up kind of having a question, but I'll just morph it into a comment. First of all, I think it's very appropriate and handsome enhancement to this house, so I'm in complete support. But one question I had was, is that a new garage door?
It is not. We're going to be painting it.
Got it.
So it will appear new.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. I was just curious because it's kind of heading towards a more contemporary feel, and, you know, whether or not they wanted to do a newer.
Yeah, not at this pass. So
it's fine. I was just curious. No, I think it's a well thought out and well executed addition remodel. So this is, I think we're
public
conceptual preliminary final. Do we have any? Are there any public comments submitted from either the chambers or online?
Are there any members of the public wishing to speak on the Zoom webinar app? Please use the raise hand feature and I will call on you. Do not have any paper speaker slips, nor do I see any attendees online who wish to speak.
Okay. They're agendized for conceptual, preliminary, and or final. Someone want to take a stab at a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to make a motion for conceptual, preliminary, and final approval for 559 Windsor Avenue. And should I go ahead with the recommendations? Yes, that we also adopt the DRB and CEQA findings that are provided in the staff report, and that we adopt CEQA categorical exemptions, and that we conduct, which I think we have, we've conducted conceptual, preliminary, and final review of the project.
Very good.
Second.
We got a second by Jim. Any discussion?
I just want to appreciate that you did the biological survey. That was very cool. I was happy to see that. Thank you.
Okay. Then with roll call, we'll take a vote.
Board Member White?
Aye.
Board Member King?
Aye.
Board Member Iman?
Yes.
Board Member Brown?
Aye.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whelan?
Yes.
And Chair Branch?
Yes. Very good.
Thank you very much. Answer. And thank you guys for your service.
Okay, that will take us to our next item. Under our conceptual / preliminary calendar, item C1.
That is for 6491 Calle Real, APN 077-160-066, Calle Real Mixed Use Project, case numbers 22-0005-DP, 22-0001-CUP.
Very good. And has everybody visited the site? Jim?
Yeah, about 200 times.
And any ex parte?
No ex parte.
Okay.
Yes, I've visited the site and had no ex parte discussions.
I have visited the site and no ex parte discussions.
I have visited the site and I had an ex parte conversation with people at the Captain Fatty's Brewery, as well as from the winery, the Samsara Winery.
Cecilia?
I've driven by the site probably 250 times and looked at it equally a number, and I've had no ex parte.
Jonathan?
Site visit, no ex parte conversation.
Elizabeth?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. Christina, the floor is yours. I like you much better when you're there, so I can see you.
Thank you, Chair Branch and members of the DRB. I'm going to do this as well as I can. I know the applicant has a nice presentation also for you, but I'd like you to hear from staff because we have been working on this project for a little bit and want to make sure that I've hit some of the key points. The project is located at 6491 Calle Real on the southeast corner of the Calle Real Los Carneros roundabout and is zoned office institutional, OI. This is a Housing Accountability Act housing development project for a new three-story mixed-use building on a vacant approximately half-acre parcel. The building is proposed to be 14,257 square feet, which includes one commercial office space of 585 square feet, 14 one-bedroom residential units totaling 11,520 square feet, and 2,152 square feet of common areas dedicated to residential use. sort of like planners love compartmentalizing numbers, so you're welcome for that. The 14 residential units would range in size from 694 to 979 square feet, and they will be rental units. Each residential unit will have a private patio or balcony associated with the unit. An approximately 585 square foot patio would be shared between the commercial and residential tenants, and 3,454 square feet of outdoor area would be shared by residents only. Parking includes 20 uncovered automobile parking spaces, plus 10 short-term and 16 long-term bicycle parking spaces. The project includes a trash enclosure and other site amenities. The proposed project will be all electric and no gas connection is proposed. This is where I'll talk about the amount of units and the city's requirements for that. The maximum number of units that would be allowed on this site per the city's current zoning ordinance is 10.6 dwelling units, which is 20 dwelling units per acre. That's the maximum dwelling density, allowed in the OI zoning district. However, this project in front of you is designed using state bonus density law. So the proposed 14-unit project will have a density of 26.4 units per acre. The applicant will be meeting the city's inclusionary housing requirements, 20% of the project, by deed restricting two of the units for low-income household, plus paying an additional in-lieu fee for a fractional unit. In addition to the density bonus, the project is applying state bonus density law parking requirements. Those parking requirements are one space per residential unit, plus commercial parking based on square footage. It's one per 300 for the commercial space. They are requesting a concessions from the city's parking lot heat island standards and a waiver to allow the proposed building height of 37 feet 2 inches. The max height in this zone is 35 feet, but with a state bonus density, they can apply for waivers for development standards, which they have. The project is not requesting any zoning modifications and meets the city's requirements for max lot coverage, setbacks, open space, and landscaping. The entitlements required for this project are design review approval, a development plan, and a conditional use permit, with the Planning Commission acting as the review authority. The Planning Commission will also review and consider the California Environmental Quality Act, CEQA, analysis for this project. The applicant has also submitted a Senate Bill 330 Streamlined Housing Review Project application, for which they have vested their development rights, and the project is limited to a total of 5 public hearings. This is hearing number 1. And I have a little more information.
Very good.
City traffic engineering staff have reviewed the traffic study and the site distance site analysis and found that the conclusion of those reports were consistent with the city's level of service and safety, and the roundabout can handle capacity for this project. The capacity and site distances were evaluated and found to have adequate site distance and no discernible impact on the roundabout or safety with the existing driveway for the proposed project. The project has received a lot of valuable public comments, and many of those items are land use items, which are not for discussion at today's hearing. Today's hearing is about the project design. The issues related to land use issues would be more appropriate for discussion at the Planning Commission. Through the chair, I'd like to pass over to Ms. Chang, who will give an overview on the DRB purview and process today.
Yes, please. Mary, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Ms. McGuire. So just to state why we don't have our project planners here is because we can only maneuver the slides and the presentation at the laptops over there. That's the reason. Not that we want your backs to them.
Oh, so sad.
She's going to transfer over so she can maneuver the slides as when we get to them. So as a disclosure, staff did meet with DRB members either individually or in pairs to sort of update all the housing laws that are applicable to this project. So I just wanted to say that for the record. And to add on to Ms. McGuire's presentation, I wanted to just reiterate that it is important for the DRB to stay within the design boundaries or purview, because the land use matters will be considered by the Planning Commission, such as traffic and circulation. And I know that we have received several comments related to traffic and the circulation of that area. It's really not in the realm of design, and these comments can be submitted to or present it at the Planning Commission hearing. So I just wanted to make that clear for the, if there's public listening to this. We would like DRB to conduct a conceptual and preliminary design review today, which means that we would like it for you to make a recommendation to the Planning Commission. If you have design requirements or conditions, we would ask that the motion maker include those conditions so they get passed along to the Planning Commission. And, you know, so when you get to that point, if you need a little help on how to structure the motion, be happy to guide you in that.
Is the Planning Commission meeting tonight?
No.
On this project?
We're not scheduled for Planning Commission yet. Okay. And your recommendation will go to the Planning Commission for them to fold into their review process for the whole project. So this project will come back to DRB for final touches, final review, after the Planning Commission. So that's the process. And if you have any questions, if not, we'll turn it over to the applicant.
I have one question for staff. The project, because of the state bonus density path they're going, they get 5 meetings.
That's correct.
Does that include Planning Commission?
Yes.
Like total, not it's, doesn't matter what board they
exactly.
just get 5. Okay.
As long as the public meeting, it's one of those meetings.
Okay.
And that's why we're hoping you can conduct your conceptual preliminary in one meeting, just to save any other necessary meetings.
Okay. I just want to reiterate then before we start, mostly for the public's sake, that this is unlike other projects that we look at, and we are limited in what we can, you know, suggest to change. You know, projects like this in the past have come to us, and we've analyzed size, bulk, and scale, and said there's too many units, the parking doesn't work, things like that. We're not able to do that on this. So there were a lot of concerned letters, which I read all of those that were in the staff report, and we as a board need to be conscious of what we're concerned about within the realm of the design of the basic design of this building. So so with that, let's begin.
Before that, Chair Branch, Ms. Chang, you mentioned that you did have discussions with certain board members. Do we need to declare that as part of our ex parte? Because
it's not a public meeting. I just wanted to mention that as we did meet with all the board members, either individually or in pairs, so not in a quorum. And just to update you on the housing laws that are applicable to this project, but we did not discuss any project specifics in our meetings.
Thank you. I felt a pang of guilt there, so thank you for amending that.
You're excused.
Buzzkill.
Buzzkill.
Catholic.
Nice.
Okay, so with that, state your names for the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you very much.
Press the green button. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Elijah Pierce. I'm the architect on the project with RRM Design Group.
And I'm Tony Tomasello. I'm a planning manager with RRM Design Group.
Very good.
And Brian Launder, RRM Design Group.
Very good.
And Chair Branch, we do have a PowerPoint presentation. Might we request that we get that up on the screen, please?
They have a PowerPoint they'd like to present? Does the staff already have that?
Yeah, Christina, you have that, right? And if I could just reiterate, please speak into the microphone because this is recorded. Thank you.
Okay.
What's your names again?
My name's Elijah Pierce. Okay. Oh,
thank you. Tony Tomasello.
Brian Launder.
Thank you. And we're also, there's a couple other people from our team here as well. We have our landscape architect who has joined virtually. So if there are questions, he'll have a portion of the presentation related to the landscape plan that he can jump in and describe. And then we're also here with the property owners and developers in case there's any questions for them. Well, good afternoon. Thank you very much for having us. We're really excited to be here today. It's been a fairly long haul to get to this point, but we've really enjoyed working collaboratively with city planning staff and public works staff on this project to bring it before you today. We're very proud of the proposed project and bringing these rental units and affordable units to the city of Goleta. We understand that this is a relatively new, project type, as Chair Branch had mentioned, via the use of density bonus law and the new state housing laws. But this has been somewhat of a long conversation before today with city council members, community stakeholders, and some of the city planning management in terms of what's desirable at this site. Let's go next slide, Christina, please. And next slide, please. So as Christina had mentioned, this site is located at the intersection at the round, just on the south east corner of the roundabout Los Carneros and Calle Real. It's adjacent to the shopping center, commercial center, retail center, just further south east of us. Thank you. Just south of the Islamic Center and Lake Los Carneros, and otherwise some generally low intensity uses in the immediately surrounding area. Next slide. These are some existing site photos for reference. I don't want to call anything in particular to your attention, but we have them there in case we need to turn back and reference them. Next slide. And so the project goals, so this is what I wanted to touch on, is the development of this site was initially conceptualized to be a commercial use. And the property owners purchased the site, I believe, in 2017, and began conversations with some commercial uses. There was a lot of interest from a national coffee shop to occupy the site. And based on feedback from city council members, the Goodland Coalition, and others in the community, as well as some of the regulatory constraints with respect to traffic and the impact fees associated with those types of uses, it really started to funnel into, and the feedback was really, no, the city needs housing. And that's what the developers heard and kind of the direction that we've gone with this project. So our program and design objective as we've gotten into this is to create an economically viable multifamily housing development, to keep it rental, to provide some low-income units, to keep the units small and more affordable by design, to reduce DMT, provide ample on-site amenities for these residents that are living in higher density areas, to go all electric and have no gas connections, which I know is so a lot of jurisdictions are going that route, to again provide two deed-restricted affordable housing units, to provide some contextual density and design, not getting too grossly out of scale with this area, and to be consistent with the comprehensive plan and the housing element. Next slide. So we initially submitted our SB 330 application in May of last year. That was deemed complete a little bit later that month. That locks in the rules and regulations at the time, so I know that the city was in process with the objective design standards, but that wasn't in effect at that time, so those aren't subject to this property, but we have reviewed those in detail. And tried to meet those to the best of our ability with the project. This does meet the design review and development plan findings, we believe, and that's based on also the recommended findings in the staff report. And our formal application was deemed complete back in February of this year, and so we've been working to try to get before you for a few months now. The project includes two low-income affordable units. That's 80% of the AMI and below. In addition, there'll be a fractional in-lieu payment for the city's inclusionary housing requirements. Projects eligible for up to a 50% density bonus, 3 concessions, and unlimited waivers. We've requested 1 concession to reduce essentially eliminate the heat island effect requirements. We can talk about a little bit further, and then increase the maximum height from 35 feet to 37 feet 2 inches in portions of the building, just in those sloped portions. As staff mentioned, we're here for recommendation of design, preliminary design approval, ideally to the Planning Commission, and then Planning Commission will also make the final determination of that, as well as the major conditional use permit and the development plan. And with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Elijah Pierce, who's gonna kind of walk you through the proposed design. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I wanted to start out with the site plan and explain a little bit about our thinking and the rationale behind how we laid out the site. So in the broadest terms, you can see that the entrance is on the northeast corner of the site. And what we've done is pulled that entrance as far away from the roundabout as possible for a couple of reasons. One, it creates less congestion on the actual roundabout, but also for safety. If you can see closely at that entrance, there are two kind of hatch triangles. Those are your view triangles that you always want to keep clear. And you can see we've been able to keep that and much more clear. So we've provided what we think is an excellent location for the main entrance onto the site for vehicles. It provides good vision and keeps congestion out of the actual roundabout. With that entrance there, we've located the main parking directly below there, and then pushed the building closer to the west side of the site. On the north edge of the building, that's where the commercial area is located, and that's the actual two-story portion of the building. So the main frontage on Cala Real is actually a two-story portion, and then it steps up behind it, three-story. So the primary facade there, which has the commercial space and then a stair above, is two-story, and then it steps up kind of in at about 20 feet back to the step up to the three-story portion. So aside from the building location, we also wanted to make sure we had a lot of nice outdoor amenities. So along the west side of the project, and we have a number of outdoor spaces and amenities for residents, and then on the south side, we even have developed a little bocce ball court. And our landscape architect will get into the details of that later, but wanted to give the general outline of where we put the different elements of the site. You may also notice the building is broken down in its massing into kind of two major sections with a breezeway in between. So the breezeway serves a number of functions. One, it helps break down the massing. You actually have, in essence, a big hole in your building, so it's helps it read less monolithic. Also, in a very practical purpose, we really don't have a dual-sided building, so you're having access from the parking lot on one side, but you also have a lot of the amenities on the west side, and so that breezeway creates a nice access for residents to come both to of the fire pit areas, but also to the parking. So there's easy access, both visual and actual kind of pedestrian access on either side. Also, as mentioned earlier, we have a number of parking stalls, both short-term kind of open day users, but also long-term covered parking as well for the bicycle parking aside from the vehicular parking. And in the vehicular parking, we're also providing EV charging stations as well. Can I get the next slide, please? Right. So on the building, One of the big overall goals was to try to break down the massing. We are being sensitive to this area that does not have a lot of three-story buildings around it. So we've attempted to follow a few strategies. One is really looking for a place where we could step down to two stories and strategically located that, you know, on a spot on the site where we think it is most useful to have that lower mass. Then we've taken the balcony and patio masses, and you can see those with the pitched roofs with the standing seam metal roofs, and tried to use those to our advantage to create some more interest and depth to the building. And then thirdly, as I mentioned previously, we have that breezeway that really breaks up the building. And we attempt to show it in the renderings, but we do think it really will be apparent. You'll be able to see through there. It's not a small window. It's, you know, about 10 feet wide straight through. You really do have some nice visual connection to the plantings on the back side of the building. All right, next slide. So item number three, that's the north elevation with the commercial space. So the commercial space has that main facade facing Cala Real. Also has a fairly open patio in front of it. So the commercial space would have access to that patio as well. And then residents up above. Actually, let's go next slide. I'll talk a little bit about materials when we get to the material board. Great, thank you. So when we were looking at the design of this building, we really wanted something that could work well in this area that has a little bit more of an agrarian feel. We looked at some of the neighborhood buildings. I think we were really smitten by the Stowe House. And the Stowe House is a Carpenter Gothic, as you guys are probably very familiar with. And we didn't attempt to emulate that directly. This is not a Gothic building in any sense. But some of the refinements, how they use a change of materials in the board and bat, we really liked and tried to find some inspiration there. So the main building has a stucco base with some decorative water table, board and bat above, and then to a wooden cornice. So we've developed that language, but tried to add a lot more detail to make sure that this building had some real character to it. So you'll see a number of shading devices. So we have metal awnings. We have a wood trellis over the openings. And then we also played a little with materials, the stone base at the enlarged patios on the ground floor. And small things, we're proposing decorative leader heads at the downspouts with exposed downspouts, 4-inch rounds. Just trying to find different ways that we could bring a little more character to the project. We also provided a decorative metal railing that was really inspired by the railings at Stowe House. They have an offset kind of carpenter pattern that we really liked and were able to incorporate here. And then small details like the exposed rafter tails, little plumb cuts there, that give this what we think is a really nice character that kind of fits in well with this location. All right. Next slide, please. As part of our initial package, we were asked to take a look at its impact on the view corridor. It's a little hard to see, and that's the point, that it is there, but we've stepped it far enough back off the street that it's really not competing with the mountain views. There's a stand of tall, mature trees on the south side of the site. So while it is a three-story building, we feel very confident that it's not going to be blocking views of the mountains. We've tried to hold it back in an appropriate place. Thank you. Next slide, please. All right. So I'm going to hand it off to Lance to talk a little bit about the landscape design.
Thank you, Elijah. You can hear me, correct?
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. Centered on the breezeway on the west side, we wanted to provide a living room space that really allows the 14 units to be able to gather and have a happy hour, drink some wine, have a charcuterie plate, and that really creates that focal community space. On the north side of that, we have a large dining table and barbecue. So this is an area that will allow them to gather together and eat together. And the two long pathways on the north and south of that living room provide an area for cornhole. So it kind of creates just another element of playfulness and community gathering space, as well as some community garden areas so that they can grow their own vegetables and herbs to also use for that community table and dining experience. And then on the very south side there, we have just another little sitting area so that if you don't want to hang out with your other tenants in the building, you can kind of have your own quiet little space to hang out. And then there's the bocce ball court on this south end there with some seating on either side, just to provide another amenity for the tenants there so that they can have something special to use and enjoy in this outdoor space. We all know that outdoor amenities and outdoor spaces is really beneficial to the health and wellness of anyone who has that opportunity to be outside. And then we've got bike racks and a bike shelter that tenants can also store their bikes in. The landscape palette, there's bioswales that are taking on all the stormwater requirements on site. So that's the stormwater landscape palette. And then we've got some all very drought tolerant, low and very low water use plants throughout the project. The project frontage will have more of a rock mulch, drought tolerant planting, and then there'll be a little bit more dense plantings in the community area on the west side there. I think that goes over all of the materials in the landscape palette. The paving materials are planned to be just a stamped concrete to look more decorative for the tenants there and to kind of blend in with the architectural style of the building.
All right, thank you very much, Lance. I think we can head to the next slide, please. Then briefly, I just wanted to speak a little to the site lighting. So we have basically three main exterior lights. One is very small scale bollard light, and you see that on the west side. Really just path lighting for that outdoor living room space. Then we have a gooseneck fixture that's building mounted. That's up on the north side of the building on the commercial side and then above the breezeway. So on this site lighting plan, the larger round circles are those goosenecks. And then we have a pole mounted lights for the parking lot, which reflect that the similar style of the gooseneck light fixtures. They're kind of a bell. All these are full cutoff light fixtures, dark sky compliant. We wanted to be very adamant that there's no light leakage up or out from the site. And next slide, please. So here you can see the cut sheets of those light fixtures. So the fixture on the upper left, highlighted in green, that's the pole-mounted light, and the flatter fixture to the right of that, that is the gooseneck light fixture. If you have any particular questions on color temperatures or mounting heights, we have them there as well. Next slide, please. So just to conclude, this project has a lot of goals, but we've really tried to be thoughtful about this project in a number of ways, making sure could contextually fit in with its surroundings, making sure it was very sustainable, and making sure that it's providing housing for the city of Goleta. So we very much appreciate all the input that we've got from city council, community members, and other stakeholders, and we really believe that that has helped craft the project that is before you today. So With that, thank you very much, and we look forward to your questions and comments.
Great. Thank you very much. We'll begin with any questions for the applicant. Jim, do you have any questions for the applicant?
Yeah, I have a few. In terms of the access, entry, egress, regarding parking on the site plan, that's all going to happen in terms of Cali Real, is that correct?
That is correct.
And there is no bike path on Cali Real, so the bicycles coming out of there will have to join the main street, is that correct?
At this time, yes.
Pardon me?
At this time, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when automobiles come out of that parking lot, are they going to be required to turn right and only right, or will they cut across incoming traffic for the rotary?
So this would not be turn restricted.
Pardon me?
This would not be turn restricted? No. So they would be able to turn either direction.
And this was also reviewed by Public Works Transportation Engineering staff, and they had, at least as far as what I've seen so far, no conditions restricting access.
Right.
But obviously that will need to be vetted through the plan check process as well.
You had a parking study done on this, right? I mean, a traffic study.
Study.
Yeah. And when was that done?
20, it was done after this roundabout was installed.
After what?
After the roundabout was in. So in its current condition, it was completed.
And the results of that study were positive as far as you were concerned?
That's
yes.
That's really more land use. That's not really our design.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dennis, do you have any questions?
Sure. I apologize if these are lengthy. But Mr. Pierce and Mr. Tomasello, can you tell us briefly what drove your decision to move the building to the west and the parking lot to the east rather than reversing?
Great question. So the initial driver for that was the access point. We did not want to access too close to the roundabout. So we were really trying to push the access further over. So I think the next question would be, okay, you could have the access, but then curve and push the parking. But right now we have, I would say, a much more efficient layout because of that we're able to maintain more green area, more open space by not dragging a driveway from one side of the site over to the other side to parking, by putting them basically in the same spot, direct from the access, then right into the parking. We didn't end up using a lot of the site for a driveway. So that's kind of given more room to the site amenities, the open space, and the plantings.
So the site design briefly was driven by the circulation, the vehicular circulation. And as Member King started to mention, the site is completely fenced, right? Correct.
So the
essentially
there's
one way in for bikes and cars, and maybe you can dribble in on the north, but
so the fence does not enclose the north side. So the north side
right.
is open, but the rest is contained.
But
correct.
There is an access road to the south. Was there any entreaties to using that driveway, which is used by the commercial center?
Not that I'm aware of. It's not public right of way.
Exactly.
It's privately owned. Yeah.
Were there any approaches made to them about using that private drive, which are shared?
No, I don't believe there was.
Wanted to go with this one. Yeah,
right, the existing
access
right. to the site.
And to your landscape, Lance, I didn't catch your last name. There doesn't appear to be any landscaping outside the fence. Is that just for somebody else to take care of?
That's outside of the property line, which would, you know, be city right of way.
There is also landscaping on the outside of the fence that is city right of way. So the back of sidewalk isn't the property line. There is a little frontage zone behind that as well.
So would I assume then that it's the city's responsibility to water and maintain that planting area?
I believe so, and I believe they have the appropriate irrigation in there.
Right.
From when they constructed the roundabout.
We've had the benefit of having story poles up for a number of months now, a couple of months. Do they reflect the parapet height or the shed roof height? Tough question, I know. I'm guessing the parapet.
No, so we had to give them the max heights. So the max height is the pitched roof,
the little
correct.
Shed roofs. Some of your renderings made it look like they're mechanical screens, but not all of them. Could you talk about mechanical screens? Because there is quite a bit of junk up there on the roof, right?
So that's one of the drivers of that parapet. So the parapets are 42 inches tall minimum, or 44 inches tall minimum, and so all the mechanical would be able to be fully screened on the roof.
By the parapet or
by the
secondary?
Parapet.
So there's no secondary screening. Fine, thank you. Have you located an electrical transformer on the side for the project?
We have. It's in the northwest corner.
Right.
So it's
there on the. That's outside your fence. Yeah. Okay.
So that is a portion that we paid particular attention to on the landscape plan to properly screen.
And is that where, again, for your landscape professional, is that where the irrigation control valve boxes are going to be out there?
I should have that. Lance, if you happen to know off the top of your head, I can check. But yes, looking at our irrigation, our utility plan. So it is, the water is coming from that side.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I might also conclude that valve shutoffs are out there with all that mechanical array. Could you talk about the materials for the awnings? I can't tell whether they're cloth or metal or what.
Metal. We will be using the same style standing seam metal that we're doing on the pitched roofs for the awnings as well.
Mm. All right. And then minor question with apologies. When I looked at your square footage calculations, and your dimensions on the drawings, they didn't seem to square up. They were anywhere from 5 to 9% small. Your declared square footages were smaller than what I figured out on your dimensions. Not a big point, but you might want to take that. I know there are vagaries in measuring where they're outside of wall.
So we'll certainly double check, but I would imagine what's based off is the definition that we're required to follow that includes the covered area versus unconditioned area versus
exactly.
Patio. So if very likely there's a difference between if you're looking at the outside of patio
exactly.
versus the inside.
Exactly, right. But do take a close look at that. That's
absolutely.
All I have, Chair Branch.
Okay. Karis, do you have any questions for the applicant? Okay. Okay. Cecilia?
Thank you. Just for full disclosure, I was a member of the Good Vine Coalition when I wrote that letter regarding a Starbucks. So amongst some other groups, I think, did that too. Anyway, I have some questions similar to Dennis's. And I guess one of them is just sort of the siting of the project, and I understand why you did it. But what it does is it pushes, as you indicated, the building to the west, and it pushes the building closer to those sort of viewing the mountains. So it brings the massing closer. But the other consideration is you have balconies that look out into the road. I mean, did you ever consider that that's not really the best position to put balconies, where people might want to go out and in the afternoon when they come home and sort of enjoy it? It's the hottest part of the site. I mean, parking was all being, right? You felt that was more important.
So I think there's some lovely views in just about every direction there.
My concern is that they're looking out into the roadway, into Los Caneros.
Okay. With all due respect, I might argue that they're looking out over the roadway to the
I guess it depends.
Fields to the west.
Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, depends upon where you are. Okay. I understand what a heat island effect, but I don't understand how it would have applied to the project. Can you briefly explain that?
Absolutely. So the city has a guideline of a percentage of shading of the parking.
Okay.
Basically, we don't want to get too much exposed asphalt, which is an admirable goal. In this particular site with such limited parking, it was losing two whole spaces to meet it.
I see. Okay.
That being said, what we've tried to look at is how we could alleviate that in other ways. So two things that we'll be doing regardless are providing a cool roof for the main flat roof of the building and also for the trash enclosure. Just makes good sense. It's not terribly expensive. And we think that actually does quite a bit more than shading just two more spaces.
Okay. Is there fire access?
Yes. So,
can you explain that, where that is, how that works?
So we were required to have what's called aerial access to the building that allows a fire truck to get down there, put its outriggers out, and then put a ladder.
What about
up.
For residents? They just have one way out and one way in, right?
So they have what are called egress windows that have to be sized a certain dimension and with clear access to fire. So there's one pedestrian kind of doorway access, but if there are ever a condition, all the sleeping rooms are required to have a secondary egress, which are provided.
What about those on the third floor? How do they get out of those?
A ladder truck would be able to reach their window.
Come up from a place where... Anyway, lighting. Down at the long-term bike parking, there's no lighting for that. I didn't see any. And I'm wondering if people are, I'm not sure the difference between your bike rack and your long-term bike parking, how you're differentiating that. But I'm just wondering why there was no, is there interior lighting in that building? So if somebody opens the door, they can see what it is, but nothing on the outside.
No. So the pole that's close to there, are we able to get the plans up? If you look on sheet SL1, which is the photometric plan, we're still able to hit a couple foot candles at that area.
Right here.
Yes.
There's a little, but the foot candles are, 0.04. They're hardly anything to see.
For an exterior path of travel, that is within recommended standards.
I wasn't thinking so much for exterior path of travel. I was thinking of somebody using the facility, and I'm not sure how, if there's a door, big door or what it is, that there would be nice to have some sort of light right there, maybe?
Yeah, that's something we could certainly study, putting a small downlight in that.
If you would, please. And also for the one up at the top, it's just the light that's coming from the parking lot, right? And again, the foot candles isn't very much. It's 0.09.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that...
So that could benefit some...
Are the most vulnerable to being whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether more light would make a difference, but maybe there could be some additional lighting up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Take a look at that.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you. And your parking lot lights are 12 feet tall.
15.
Oh, I thought it said on the diagram 12.
I think, Brian will point out the mounting heights.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's fine. Well, they're under city standards. So anyway, it doesn't make any difference. I have a question on the some of the landscaping. And I appreciate the robust use of natives, but I just have some questions and I'll make comments based upon your response, is why we've seen other projects that have used agaves in commercial settings, and I think they're wholly inappropriate. You're going to have, you may have people walking by them and they can get stuck. I have some in my yard. I got stuck in my eye once. So with that, I said, no more agaves that are going to get me stuck in the eye. I'll put them in pots where I can move them far away. So anyway, you have two, the Shai and the other one, And I just don't think that in a commercial area, I know people may not be traveling back there, but I just think there's some liability to have them. And the shaw, I grow it. It's not a very vigorous grower. It stays small. And I'm just thinking there may be some other sorts of native plants that would be more appropriate. Concerning one of the trees, the heteromeles, you wanted to use Davis Gold. My experience in growing that is not a very vigorous plant. It's just the regular heteromeles. It's really better. And they're not really trees. They're really big shrubs, huge shrubs, you know, 8 feet by 8 feet. I don't know the ones in my neighborhood. So I just don't think that that's appropriate. For the bioswale, I know you've got some monkey flowers and things, but, you know, here's a really nice chance to put a masses of grasses, and you have a lot of good grasses. Maybe you could use more. That's my thinking about that. So let me see. I have some other things. Oh, the story poles, you certainly put them up early, and that was great for us in the community who felt that that was important to see. So I think Dennis talked about it, that the shed roof is reflected in the story poles as you come up Los Caneros, right? The two shed roofs, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I have a lot of notes here. Let me see what else. Oh, I wanted to talk about balcony space. No, I wanted to ask about the, there's a little enclosed space here where it says hot water heater and washing machines, but you're not having a hot water heater, you're having something else. What is the, what mechanism?
The heat pump.
Tankless.
It's actually tanked. It's what's called a heat pump water heater. So they're significantly more energy efficient than even a tankless water heater.
And how big are they? I'm not familiar with them.
They look like your standard hot water heater, except they have basically a compressor on top of them.
Oh, I see.
So they still look like a big cylinder.
Okay.
But they're like the inverse of an air conditioning unit. So instead of blowing hot air out, they blow actually cold air out and put the hotness into the water.
And so the reason they're on the balcony is because they can leak and like regular.
And they make some noise. It's not loud, but it's it hums.
And the balcony, there's a certain size required for recreational spaces for applicants or residents on second, third floors. What are the spaces for the balconies?
So the spaces are, the requirements are larger for the ground floor. And so if you take a look at the floor plans, we kind of extend that patio out. Okay. That's where we do the stone, and they're a little smaller on the upper floors.
Okay.
We've met both of them.
So you've exceeded it?
Correct.
Do you know how much you've exceeded it? By very much?
Not very much. They're
tiny.
I would say they're generous. GLEED has a really nice rule for balconies. So,
the little area where there is the water heater or whatever that you call it, it seems like that's a pretty big area. I mean, what is it compared to the balcony that they have? Just looking at here, I just.
The closet?
Yeah, is it? It's a you can access it from the inside, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, it looks like it's a door here, right?
Brian, if you can help out.
This is all exterior. This is covered and this is uncovered, but this is all exterior. You would access it from the outside.
So I thought all the balconies were covered on the upper floors, right?
They are.
Okay, so when you go out, the balcony covers. The roof covers both areas.
It covers, so this is the first
floor. Oh, that's
it covers
right.
This area,
covers,
this area.
Okay, I get it. Okay, I see how that works. Okay, I get it. Okay. So I just want to talk to you about the design of the building and sort of your inspiration for it. This area, this is a zone district where it's office institutional, and your inspiration was taken from some other source other than office institutional buildings. Can you tell me why you wanted to do sort of a really more residential here, where sort of to be more compatible, it would have been more office institutional, less sort of, you know, shed roofs and things like that? balconies?
Great question. You nailed a really defining challenge when we were looking at the design, in that this is mixed use. It's not only office, and you know, we want somewhere that finds that balance, that looks like somewhere that you'd want to live, that looks, has a bit of character to it. But it is in a mixed use area, it is office institutional. So if you take a look at it, on particularly on that north elevation, so if you see on, it's detail two up there, our commercial frontage has attempted to be a little more a clean line and commercial looking, whereas as you wrap around, you start to get the awnings and the breezeways where it feels a little more residential. So we're trying to find a nice balance between the two.
Okay. And I don't want to talk about parking, but my question comes to my mind is that there's going to be an owner of a business here, right? An employee. And so there's only one parking space for that office. Oh, there's two. Oh, okay. So one for somebody coming. Okay. All right. That was my question. Okay. I guess that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jonathan, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I was a minor point, but I'm trying to make sense of the long-term bicycle parking. I think there's calls out 16 spaces, but it looks more like 12 on the drawings. But maybe I'm misinterpreting the drawing.
Pull that up for us. Yes. So we have two rows of four with two bikes per rack.
Oh, they're
so
top and bottom.
Yep. Okay.
All right. That comes up to 16 then. Thank you. Doing my math.
Sorry.
I was just also wondering, those magnificent trees off your site might also help a little bit with your heat issues in the parking lot, because you're going to get a lot of shade from those most of the day, most of the year.
Yeah, particularly with them on the south side. That's a great point. Yeah.
Hi. Thank you. One of my questions was, you're asking for two concessions out of the three. Was there going to be a third added in, maybe as to the type of residence or anything
that? Not at this time.
Okay.
Can you do that? You add another concession as the process, as the project moves?
If something were identified that...
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
You have an unlimited.
Okay, and I think my other question had been about the AC, but I think we talked about that. So. Okay, thank you. I do want to comment that I love going with the balcony. So I love that option. More and more I see apartments, and we're doing that less and less, and this is California. So I just think we ought to be able to enjoy the outdoors sometimes. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
My question was about site design. So Dennis already asked that, so you've answered that. This time, do we have any public speakers, either in-house or online, that would like to?
Are there any members of the public on the Zoom webinar that wish to speak? Please use the raise hand feature and I will call on you. I do not have any paper speaker slips, nor do I see any. Actually, I apologize. I do have one.
Okay.
If you can please go up to the podium, and you will have 3 minutes. We have Matt Brady. Just for the record, there are no attendees on the Zoom webinar at this time.
That's right. My name is Matt Brady. I'm the winemaker at Samsara Wine Company. We're at 6485. We're part of the Commercial Business Park. Thanks to the presenters for a good presentation. Thanks to the commissioners for good questions. Really, I have one main concern and one smaller concern. The main concern is parking. There's 14 units, 20 spots. Two of the spots are going to the business. I think it's pretty reasonable in Santa Barbara County and Goleta in particular that many of these units aren't going to be sole occupiers. It's going to be two people with two cars and with guests coming. And because there's nowhere else to park in the area except for our business complex, which is already pretty stretched to the limit with parking, it is a huge concern. And there's no enforcement capability on our end. We're not the property owners. The property is owned by Tobes. But we don't have somebody enforcing parking, so it's a major concern if our customers can't visit our business because residents or guests of residents are occupying the parking spots. That's a big problem for us. And I don't need to elaborate any more than that because I think it's a pretty clear issue for everybody. The view corridor was the only other small thing. The view corridor from the street, of course, is going to be clear because nobody's going to block the street with a building. But the view corridor from our business, and we're permitted by the ABC to host member events on our back patio, which is incorporated in our ABC boundaries. And it is pretty nice looking at those mountains. And that adds to the aesthetic and the experience of our business. I love the idea of having a smart housing project at that space. And so I'm supportive of doing it the right way. And that's my time, thanks.
Thank you very much.
And our next speaker is Preston Angel.
Good evening, my name is Preston Angel. I'm the founder of Captain Fatty's Brewery. Also where Matt does a lot of his winemaking. Really just want to reflect his comments. Also want to note that generally I think that we do support this project. The design, I can't really speak to the design, but I think it looks great. And this could inherently also bring some wine drinkers and some beer drinkers to the area as well. So. Generally support it, but again, the parking is the big issue for us in that south-facing complex there. We've experienced some issues with overflow parking from the Islamic Center being across the street and just hindering business in general. As Matt said, been a good amount of, we're stretched thin when it comes to parking in that complex, and it's hindered both of our businesses so far. And so just want to make note of that. And but other than that, I appreciate the time, appreciate the design.
Thank you.
And our next speaker is Evan Strunk.
Hi, my name is Evan Strunk. I run operations at Captain Fatty's Brewery. And thanks for having me. I just wanted to harp on the parking as well. I think it's an obvious issue. With this development, I think that it's egregiously under parking space allocated, especially as Matt brought up the population density and many of the renters of this space are gonna be two people, likely. Even if they're single occupants, then there's only one space per. And so one of the questions I wanted to pose, didn't want to take up my time, but if you could answer it after, is what's going to be your policy for guests? Are you going to permit, require permits given out to individuals who are your tenants? And how are you going to make sure that they don't spill over into our property? I'd love to hear what your plan is for that. And then I wanted to go really quick back to just how busy of an intersection this is. I think we've all driven this a lot. And I think that one major concern for the public health and security of pedestrians is there's a walkway there right where you're saying that they can turn either left or right. And I wanted to point out that the adjacent exit for our business park, which is to the right, further down, further away from the roundabout, is a right turn only for us. It is not a dual direction out. We respect that because we also have the CHP right next to us as well. We don't want to get tickets, but I think that definitely that should be a consideration for public safety and to make sure that people are safe. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that concludes our public comment.
Okay, none online?
There are no speakers online at this time.
Okay, great. Before we begin comments, Dennis, you said you had a question?
Chair Branch to Ms. Chang, could you please briefly reiterate what we're not going to comment on and what are the two concessions being requested?
Okay, I'll answer your first question. First of all, we appreciate public comments that, you know, that was provided, and that is more in the purview of land use and at the Planning Commission, so I'd encourage you to come to the Planning Commission meeting for that. The project does meet the city's zoning code, and with the density bonus, does meet the parking requirements, so we are not able to require more. I don't know if there's any, you know, civil matter that you guys, the property owners, can work out. That's sort of between maybe talking to the property owners for potential shared parking, conjunctive parking, or, you know, some other ideas. But the city's hands are tied with our code and with the state law requirement for parking. So, in other words, the project does meet the parking as proposed. Second question, the two concessions is the heat island effect and the height adjust, the height increase from 35 feet to 37.
32.7.
Yeah. Thank you. So besides parking, we can talk about mass bulk scale, all the usual items that we are charged with, right?
In design features, correct.
Yes, thank you.
And also, Chair Branch, I want to remind you that there's a workshop here. We don't want to rush this project. It's an important project, but if the board members can really hone in on your comments and get this wrapped up by 5, we would appreciate it.
We will do our best. Jim, any comments?
No comments.
Dennis?
Thank you, Chair Branch. First, as a suggestion to the design team, your package doesn't include any photos that are current. For example, there are none of the story poles. You also don't show any of the surrounding parcels, the Islamic Center, the Commercial Center. You might do well to really help analyze the site by including some of that information. So to begin with some of my questions, the electrical transformer, the irrigation controls, and the valve shutoff are in the most visible place that you could ever imagine on the site. So if you can't relocate them, have your landscaper disguise them as best as he can. I know they have to be accessible and all that, but really I think that is gonna work against your project. I wanna speak to the larger issues. When I looked, and I looked at it several times with the story poles, I really admired the massing as it related to the Islamic Center. Now, the Commercial Center is really a background building, and what I saw you were taking your design cues were from the Islamic Center, which reflected an agrarian. I thought your massing was very good in that regard. But this is going to be a set piece. This is going to be an entryway for Calle Real. And in terms of not only imagery, but especially the colors, I think your color palette is particularly drab, not to be too pejorative, but black, white, and gray just doesn't make it. The Islamic Center has kind of a rich ochre. It's really an unusual color, and it has dark green, not dark green, but they turn dark green window frames are kind of a bright green. So I would encourage you to get a more colorful palette. And that manufactured gray stone, if you could have something that was more of a Santa Barbara sandstone color, that would bring out more of the local character and imagery. I think you'd have a much stronger proposal. The south elevation is probably going to be the most visible because your north elevation, people are navigating around the circle. And I that's probably the weakest one. If you could include some more trellis work or somehow articulate the surface to create some shadow and depth to it, I think that would enhance your project a lot. The shed roofs, I don't think, reflect any of the agrarian character that you are aspiring to. When you talk about the Stowe House, what a rich and wonderful woodworkers. I see the board and batten and the plaster and some of the moldings, but the shed roofs just remind me of something from 1970s that got applied to a historic building. And if you could rethink those in some other terms, maybe it doesn't have any at all. Maybe it's just all a pair, but with some crenellation, I don't know. But those really do seem to work against your design objectives. The lighting fixture is a classic agricultural one. On one of your sheets, A.08, it looks as if the interior of the patio walls are painted bright red like the doors. I would welcome, if you're gonna go with the white color, you see what I'm talking about there, Mr. Pierce?
I think you're seeing a door behind the tree, but...
Well, no, it looks like the interior wall of the balcony is painted deep red like your walls. Anyways, if you go with the blander color scheme, some color to bring it out, the fireplace placement strikes me as it's going to be in a wind tunnel. We all know that we have these steady afternoon southwest winds, and that may not be the accommodating public assembly place that you're envisioning. This stair on the commercial portion looks tacked on like it came later, and I think your design would be well enhanced if it were better integrated. It again looks, doesn't reflect any of the agrarian model that you're after. And then finally, if your mission is to really reduce vehicle trips and feature this as a place to live for bicyclists, the location of the storage unit is probably the least attractive place. If I'm gonna rely on a bicycle to get to the university, I'm gonna spend $7,000 to $10,000 on it, and I'm not gonna leave it in some rickety structure way off in a dark corner. I'm gonna haul it up and down the stairs, which is what happens in Isla Vista. And so unless you really make it an attractive integrated feature into the buildings, where people aren't inclined to take their bikes on the stairways, I think that's gonna fail pretty quickly. Those are all my comments. Thank you, Chair Branch.
Very good. Thank you for being so concise with your comments. Karis?
Do you wanna go first?
Nope, go.
You wanna go first, okay.
I'm gonna go first. Time, so
okay,
jump in and
I'll try to go quick. I would ask you to revisit some of the design decisions that you made here in terms of the fence and the bocce court. Those are my biggest concerns, knowing that you want to be good neighbors, and you also want to have people go over to the brewery and go over to the wine bar and have a good time, and that's kind of the benefit of living right there, right? And also being able to get from UCSB in real easy. If you switch the location, if you look at the preliminary improvement plan C1, you can see if you switch the bike racks and bike parking storage over to one of your barbecue areas, then you can open up this whole bocce court area to maybe additional parking, just as a way of like helping people out and also as a way of bikes accessing in through, so they don't have to go through the whole circle before they come in. And in terms of being a safer place to put expensive bikes, I think that's worth it. I think that's a super amenity for the people who are there, much more than a bocce court. I have looked at your stormwater management design, and you're taking the stormwater that falls anywhere in the middle of your building and from your roofs, and you're pumping it out towards Cali Real, which I think is kind of a little bit of going uphill and against the wind, because your whole site wants to slope over towards the Tobes property on the edge of yours, which is where a lot of your retaining is. So in the front, you have a very small retaining basin, but on the sides, you have a very long and possibly deep retaining basin. So maybe to think about relocating the stormwater management over towards that side, opening up instead of pulling a fence across here and putting this sort of end of parking lot situation here, maybe that becomes an opening, and then there is, you know, perhaps the parking can be tilted. Those oak trees can maybe be moved into the stormwater management areas. I'm agreement in the, I wouldn't use the yellow toyon, I would use the regular, you know, the orange one that's really beautiful and it works really well here. And also for your oak trees, think about using one that's a little, yeah, the agrifolia that's from here. The island one will stay small, and I don't think that's what you want. I think what you want is something big and shady, especially because this parking lot is completely on the sunniest, hottest, unbearable side of the parking lot. And even though you guys don't have to worry about the heat island effect, the people who live there are still gonna have to be dealing with that all the time. So the more benefit you can do to them, if you can tilt your parking, increase your parking, add some parking onto the bottom part of the site, on the bottom side of this part, as well as flow for the bikes coming in, I think you could really, you know, you make it something super nice for people. There's some weird little spaces of, which I'm not sure why that happened, to have little tiny triangles of thing, but I'm sure you guys have some reason for that. But whenever you have something like that, you know, think that people don't tend to want to walk in triangular lines, they want to flow into their space. So if you can combine that with something else, making the flow and the entrance more easy, you park your bike right here, it's a nice safe spot, you can go have a drink, and then you come back to your house. And then it kind of blends you in a little bit more with the community. I know you're not required to do that, but if you put a fence across there, it's just gonna cause problems. People are just gonna try to bounce it, and you know how that is.
Yep.
So it's almost better just to like help people. Think about light colors, permeable pavers, anything you can do to take down the heat of that area. Nothing is going to want to grow where it's just unbelievably desertous area. But you guys have like a great plan. I mean, I love all your native plants and all the things that are happening. I like these little amenity areas. It's a little awkward them being where they are right on the street, but I think you can make it work if you sort of consolidate them a little bit more, and then have some of the amenities that are really useful and needed by people versus barbecues and fireplaces that are just in the wind tunnel and stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Okay. No. All right, Cecilia?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I concur with Dennis's comments.
Turn on your mic.
Sorry. Thank you. I concur with Dennis's comments, particularly regarding the shed roof. And as I see it from the story poles, it's the shed roof. As you travel Los Caneros and you look through to the Islamic Center, it's that shed roof that kind of sort of interferes with that view. And to reduce those shed roofs or change them in some way, I think that would be better. One of your designs on AO5, if you want to just pull that up, I really like the very, that one. No, back. No, it was as a view coming up from that's to. I really like sort of the very clean lines that presents. I think that's more sort of more compatible with the sort of a commercial office institutional look, mm-hmm. And the attempt to try to do something with these shed roofs. I just don't think it works. So I think Dennis is right on there. And I think you said it. It's about getting clean lines, and I think that there's a way that you can do that. You're the architect, so you have those ideas. But anyway, The downspouts. I'm not sure why you highlight the downspouts in a different color than the background. I think they should all just be color of whatever the building is rather than, I don't know why people do that. I think that's kind of interesting. Why
are those real downspouts? They don't seem to have anything going to them.
These are stoppers from the roof.
But I don't, but it's kind of, anyway, I just put that out there because it's sort of a weird thing. Anyway, for me, anyway. I did have some other things here. Downspouts, landscaping. And I confer. I appreciate Clarice's comments on the Quercus tomentella changing it to agrifolia and also the heteromeles.
Oh, yes. And the curb. I forgot to talk about that. If you're going to have a wetland area right next to the parking lot, there should be curb cuts. I didn't see any on here, so it's just a reminder.
Yeah, but I did like, and also the idea of having access, a bike access down at the bottom. I think that'd be a great idea. I don't know much about bikes. I'm a walker myself. And another question I have is there's no sidewalk. It's just whatever the city sidewalks are, and that's it. Right? You're not required to put any sidewalks to nowhere. Yeah, that's weird. So people have to, they're going to have to, they can walk over to the overpass, right, from your sidewalks, right? They can do that. They have to cross the street to get over to.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, so
all
the way down. Yeah, there's a sidewalk. There's a nice strip right there that the city just redid.
Okay, so they can do that. Okay. So I think that's just, I guess my greatest concern is just that, you know, the a lot of public commenters on Viewshed, and I think the Islamic Center tried very hard and incorporate and to respect the Viewshed. And I think that just with slight tweaks to kind of what you're proposing for the exterior of the building, you can get there. And I'd really like to see cleaner lines, maybe just, I don't know, I feel that that's what's sort of needed there, not something that's more residential, like Dennis said, with these shed roofs from the 70s. Anyway, that's my thought. So it's, you know, it's better than a Starbucks. Thank you very much.
Okay.
We certainly didn't want that. That was sort of craziness over there. But anyway.
Jonathan?
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say any attempt to get some housing in Goleta is surely appreciated. I did want to echo one of my colleagues' comments on that stairway. It just bugs me. There's this big flat mass. The slope of the line, the stairway, is not consistent with the slope of your roof line, and that just it just irritates me. And then you have sort of these three thick pillars in front of the commercial space there.
No, they're talking about these.
It sort of seems like a completely different project to the rest of the building. So I don't know what would be better, but I just thought I'd share my visceral reaction to it. Thank you.
Very good. Elizabeth?
Okay. I guess with the parking, I didn't know, I forgot to comment earlier on this, electrical vehicle parking, if you guys were, well, but you're open to that, with the four guest parkings or making that something, so just putting that thought there. And, okay, that was it. So, thank you.
I'll jump in. We're not allowed to talk about the badly needed extra parking on this site, so I won't talk about that there's not guest parking or anything, because we're not allowed to do that. But what I will say is that I think the project is quite handsome. I think you guys have got some nice forms here. The sheds, I think, that you guys are talking about are actually gables. But the problem is they don't pop up high enough to be seen as gables. When you look at the, I think it's A8, is it A.8? Yeah, the bird's eye, you can see they're gables, and that's great, but those parapets, you're limited by the height thing on there. So from human level, they do look like sheds. And from that standpoint, they are a little bit out of place, so I concur with that. the stairway on the north, I don't have that big a problem with it, but I wonder if a balustrade would make it more appropriate. It hurts the signage part of it, but I don't know, maybe seeing balusters kind of get it more into the aesthetic from which you pulled concepts from, if that makes sense. And I like I like Dennis's comment about maybe reconsidering your color palette. I thought that was smart. I mean, both the commercial center to the property to the east of you and the Islamic center to the north have more muted colors, and I think they're successful where they are. So I think that was actually a pretty good comment. Other than that, I think that they have. My colleagues have brought up issues that I had thought of, so you have stuff to consider. At this point, it's going away from here, heading to Planning Commission and so forth, right?
Right. What we would ask the DRB to do is to make a motion and to whether you agree to approve the design with your comments. Now, there's a lot of comments that you've sprinkled out. I don't know if the motion maker wants to make some of them as conditions rather than comments, and then the applicant can take a look at that and, you know, either respond. We'll take the package to the Planning Commission, let the Planning Commission know what your comments were and how the applicant will or will not address that. So, and then they can make the decision on the overall project with the design considerations.
Got it. Okay.
And Ms. Chang, that should also include the concessions as a recommendation to the Planning Commission.
Well, that's the whole package of the project. You're tasked with the design.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
You know, Mary, I've watched Planning Commission meetings, and I don't think they review what we've said, and to get our comments to them, we almost need to have like a list of,
yes,
we need to have some way, and I don't know, is Christina going to summarize that, or how is that going to be communicated to
them? My thought is that we would have a list, compile all the comments you have. The applicant can take a look at that.
Okay.
They can address how they want to address that, and okay, we bring that package to the Planning Commission.
Well, my concern is that we've talked about quite a few things,
right,
and that they all sort of get listed so that the applicant can be responsive, because if a community member writes a letter and says, hey, the design review board said blah, 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 you didn't address it, I think that's, we need to just have that sort of part of the process to ensure that it does for the applicant as well.
Okay, Ms. Prossy wants to say something.
Oh, there she is. I knew she'd be here. I'm sorry. Lisa's going to write them.
Pardon?
Lisa's going to write them.
No, well, I mean, yes, Lisa Prossy, I'm the current. Hi, Lisa Prossy, current planning manager. Thank you, Christina, for miking me. So as Mary said, you know, we'll do a list. And then the other thing, I mean, maybe by the time this gets to Planning Commission, we'll have our new hearing clerk on board. And one of the things she's going to do is do minutes, because we've got 7 months worth of minutes to do. But we also will provide a link in the staff report. That's what we've been doing, to the video of the meeting, because that's one of the best ways for the Planning Commission to, you know, hear what is said. So I think those would be the tools that we would use, and hope that they will avail themselves of those comments. So I think that would be what we would do. And we're open to other ideas if you have them, but that would be the general scope,
okay,
of what we would do.
Then I guess a motion with as specific of bullet points as you could get,
yeah,
would suffice.
I'll try to make a go of it here. I'll make a motion that for conceptual and preliminary approval of the design be forwarded to the Planning Commission with the following comments: that the infrastructure items at the corner, that's the electrical vault, the valves and the irrigation, be studied either to be relocated or landscaped, that the color palette complements the adjacent buildings, moving away from what's proposed, and that would be in specific terms of hue, value, and chroma. I would study the shed roofs, and we can debate whether what's a shed and what's a gable, but yes, to study those and their impact on the overall design. Study the south elevation for more articulation and shadow play. That the stair on the north be better integrated with the overall design and reflect that agrarian character, and that the downspouts also be better integrated with the overall design and painted to match the walls. Those are my notes so far. Feel free to add to my motion. I think you would get a second and then amend the motion before they add to it. Either way.
Yeah, that probably would make more sense under discussion. So can we get a second?
I can second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Is that where I say all my things? bullet points. The stormwater drain is all heading towards Cali Real. I think you should revisit the direction of where you're putting that water, perhaps putting in a second opening and the shall not be mentioned things, but then moving some of the amenities over so that the shall not be mentioned things could be there possibly.
You're kind of all over the map. Can you be more specific and succinct? Think of a bullet point and.
Okay. Stormwater drains should come over.
Study stormwater.
Study stormwater. Consider moving bike and other amenities over so that there's an entrance way and possible bike access to from the east. Yeah, from Los Canaros. And the other one, light colors, permeable pavers, photovoltaics on the roof, and I like the angles of roofs, no, but I understand.
But you're not. You can't go
okay.
there.
Oh, okay. Then just I would just say, yeah, look at the angled roofs.
Okay.
And I think just to add to that, both of us mentioned certain landscape considerations in terms of plant palette. That would be good. I think, I don't know if Clarice put in her comments, I think she had something about the bocce ball court and doing something with that, something else. What?
She was talking about that being a...
opening that up.
Okay, that's...
connection to a gate on the southwest
side. Access to, okay. Which, okay.
So that could be a bullet point to consider that.
Okay.
And curb cuts.
Yeah, well, they'd have to do that as well. So let me see. I think that's pretty much that's broad enough.
Okay.
I think is that helpful to you all?
Then
maybe you have some, Scott. Maybe you have some, or maybe John has something.
Nothing for me.
Okay.
Okay. Then
I would like to put a fine point on that: the bicycle storage that it be you study a better integration of the long-term bicycle storage for the to the benefit of the residents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With that, since we're in the middle of the discussion, for the motion. No, she.
I seconded it.
It's already been seconded, and we've had discussion.
Those changes are acceptable to myself, who made the motion.
And to me, who seconded.
Perfect. We'll have roll call for a vote.
Board Member White?
Aye.
Board Member King?
Aye.
Board Member Iman?
Aye.
Board Member Brown?
Aye.
Board Member Clinton?
Aye.
Board Member Whelan?
Yes.
Chair Branch.
Yes. Thank you guys for your presentation. And
yeah, thank you.
Good luck on your path forward.
Good comments. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Any announcements by members or staff? This is our next item, item D.
Chair Branch, I can make one announcement.
Yes.
Just that in 30 minutes, if anybody's interested, there is going to be a joint City Council Planning Commission meeting in here regarding the housing element and the consideration of additional housing sites. So.
Very good, thank you. I would just like not to abuse being in front of a microphone, but I want to wish happy birthday to my brother today. So,
yay.
There you go.
We'll go ahead and sing.
Yeah, we're
going to
sing. We're going to sing.
And with that, we are adjourned.